So, train etiquette. It's one of those areas which, in the age of the train, we possibly have to still deal with how we cope with unwelcome journey travellers and a whole range of other factors. A recent survey that's been carried out by one poll to 2,000 commuters revealed a whole range of things, including the way in which people move seats to avoid disruptive passengers, and indeed the way in which we cope with annoying passengers. If we're talking about non-verbal communication, though, and behaviour in general ways, who better to actually address this issue than indeed the ace TV behavioural psychologist extraordinaire, the one and only legendary Joe Hemmings. Joe, how are you?
Well, I'm even better now that you describe me like that. Thank you very much.
But you are, exactly. You resonate in every sense of the word, which is fantastic. Now, in terms of this particular area, I've travelled by train. I mean, most people have in some way, shape or form. And certainly at certain periods in off-peak, we have peak times and so on, it does get an issue where you just think, what is going on here? What's happening in every sense of the word? This particular survey suggests that, in essence, we all have ways of actually coping with, shall we say, folk who maybe don't have the right notion of train etiquette in the first place.
Well, yes, we do. But the interesting thing about this red-spotted hanky survey is that actually there's a big list of complaints, a really big list of complaints. And I think they're only tip of the iceberg stuff in some ways. But actually two-thirds of people admit to being guilty of these habits themselves, the very same habits that they don't like in other people. So there's a huge amount of this going on, and we're aware that we do it as well as being annoyed when other people do it.
I mean, obviously, poor personal hygiene is unacceptable in any sense of the word. I mean, for goodness sake, just get that sorted through. But obviously, bad smell, poor behaviour, whilst maybe slightly inebriated, not great. People forcing themselves on when others are still getting off. Yes, let the passengers off first, please. It's not just the London Underground.
No, I think what people do is they spot a sort of vacant seat as the train is pulling in. And they think, oh, yeah, there's a couple of seats, I'll get that. And so they become entirely focused on getting into that train and on that seat, not really taking into account that the reason that seat is empty is someone's just vacated it and they're trying to get off the train. So there's a real example of how selfish that is. And that, of course, is a commuter problem mainly. Of course, the smelling bad and drunken behaviour, number two and number three, one hopes is not as frequent on a commuter train as it would be on a late night train, but who knows. So there's a real mixture of, some of these complaints you would get late at night, some of them you would definitely get while commuting and so on. So it's a mixture of all of those things.
We don't seem to have a huge impact for the classic Dom Jolly line, I'm on the train with the mobile phone, which I thought might have actually been there, but perhaps that's kind of subsumed under the notion of people playing ringtones and music through speakers, or indeed playing music too loudly over headphones. It's that tinniness that's approaching, and you think not only are they doing their own ears in, but it's also not irritating for the rest of us.
But you kind of wonder what those people are hearing, what level of volume they can hear, if you can hear the tinniness. I think, actually, the way to avoid that is to try and play a guessing game as to what they might be listening to, and then nudge them and ask them, because that usually gets a kind of reaction. But this thing about saying, I'm on the train, I think is partly annoying for us because the reason we need to say it is because actually a lot of the signals for trains, for mobile phones are so bad that you're warning somebody you're on the train because you're probably going to get cut off any second. And more people use them. You know, everybody has a phone on the train whether they're texting or just checking it or speaking. So in a crowded space that is public, this is never going to be something which is going to be acceptable to anybody.
Eating noisily. That's quite interesting. Are we talking crisps here, or are we just talking a case of scrunch, scrunch?
I think it's sort of sloppy eating as much as crunchy eating, because actually coming straight on its heels are eating food that smells strongly, which I think is even worse. I don't mind the noisy eating. I do mind sort of whiffy food, because I just think it's in a crowded place, because it's not very pleasant.
5 and 6, I think, are related. Now, I've experienced the notion of having the back of one's chair being constantly kicked, which is not great, particularly if you've got somebody in the terrible 2s, 3s, 4s, or whatever. But if you then, this is the thing that I found fascinating, was parents not controlling their children, yes, even when they're grabbing at your face. Isn't that GBH? Can you not actually sue for that?
I don't know, but it's very funny, because it paints a picture, doesn't it? You just imagine these sticky little
I'd rather not, Joe, actually, but yeah, I know where you're coming from, yes.
I don't think I've ever had a child grab my face. I've definitely had a child grab my hair. So they're sort of being propped up on their parents' knee, and then my hair's looking all tempting, and they grab it from behind. I've definitely.
They probably just want to get friendly with you, Joe, that's all. Thought.
Well, that brings us to number 27, strangers who chat you up.
Yes,
They just want to get friendly too, but it's apparently an irritant, but not quite so much.
Well, I suppose ultimately, brief encounter actually didn't take place on the train. It was actually in the waiting area in the cafeteria, so that's, I think...
Imagine that now, though, of course, because the waiting area of anywhere on a station is almost as bad as the train itself.
Mm.
So I think brief encounter was a... You see, I don't know if you could reenact that in a packed... waiting room.
I mean, unless you updated it on the lines of, as opposed to having something in your eye, you could actually have, you've got a child grabbing your face. You know, it's,
but you probably... I've got a child in my eye. It's not got quite the same romantic ring to it.
Not really.
But, you know, we've modernised it. Why not?
A sort of interesting line here. 45% in the survey try to discourage people from talking to them by burying their head in a book, putting on headphones or staring out the window. Again, these are all coping strategies, aren't they, in terms of how
we actually sort of deal
with that?
And we need them because we're not a nation that's particularly willing to confront these irritations. So our only real alternative is to sort of withdraw from them as much as possible. So isolate ourselves, either, as you say, with headphones or looking away or reading a book. Because what we're all trying to do is create a sort of private, personal space within a very public situation. Yeah. And we kind of, it seems to be, we'll almost do it in any means possible. And so that's why people sort of, distract themselves with something else. They don't have to...
Culturally, we look at things like the Japanese bullet trains where people are actually forced on and pushed in there, squeezed in. We look at, obviously, the notions of Passage to India and the kind of trains there, people hanging out the trains and so on. Is this a case of something in our Britishness, our Britishness and our British reserve kind of means that we are concerned about this? Or is it just a case of, well, the rest of the world's had to cope with this, so get with it, get with the programme?
Well, I think, it's... The fact is that, yes, we ought to have kind of constant images, perhaps, of some of those really overcrowded trains in third world countries on a loop on our trains, because it makes our trains look, very sophisticated and luxurious.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened is it gradually gets worse. People are used to having a seat. They're less likely to get one now. And basic courtesy and common sense appears to be sort of drifting away. So you've got a bit of a double whammy where just manners aren't what they used to be, and nowhere is that seems to be more obvious than on a train. And you've got loads more technology, so you can get even more irritating than you were before.
And intriguing that the average commuter spends 42 minutes on a train on each trip to work, and the biggest stress factor is not getting a seat. It is frustrating, I must admit, particularly if you've got sort of stuff that you're carrying with you as well, really.
And you've paid for a seat, like the person who is actually sitting down.
Yeah.
So, and trains seem to be getting shorter. My goodness, we could go on forever about this. But it's clearly, it resonates with so many people. There's, I don't know anybody who doesn't recognise, 5 or 6 of these irritations instantly, and I also don't know many people who also don't admit to behaving that way themselves.
Maybe, I mean, in terms of solving the problem, we could, I mean, a couple of suggestions here, Joe, which we could possibly sort of set up as a campaign. One, actually sort of offer commuters the role of actually having a standing ticket or a seating ticket. That might sort of solve one of the sort of notions of that, a bit like when people used to go and attend various sporting events. Or secondly, actually put up a list of train etiquette. I mean, I feel just as we have netiquette, we have party etiquette, etc. We need train etiquette established there.
It's going to be a very, very long list looking at these irritations. And the thing I think about standing tickets is that it's open to abuse, isn't it? Because unless someone's going to check your...
Unless
someone's going to check your ticket...
But surely job creation for ticket people, ticket inspectors. Just a thought.
Our trains can get even more crowded now. Because we've actually now got, goodness knows how many ticket inspectors piling on the train as well. I think the answer is to learn coping lessons, to learn to sort of tolerate it, to accept that we're as guilty as anybody else at doing it. I don't think you can change the cultural thing. You can change your attitude towards what's going on, and I think that's the only way you're going to keep your blood pressure down, really.
Joe, as ever, sage and meaningful advice, and that's one of the reasons why www.joehemmings.co.uk is the go-to website for all manner of wonderful, delightful things. It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with you on train etiquette and challenges and such like. Two final questions for your good self, Joe, hopefully not too stressful. Have you had a reasonably interesting and not too stressful telephonic link with us on the show today?
I've had a most enjoyable, very positive telephonic link with you, Alex. Yes, thank you.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future, and assuming that our trains and our transport systems can also... I mean, I think we could do boats, we could actually do planes. There's a whole range of things here.
The world is our oyster, and I'm here.
Joe Hemmings, ace TV behavioural psychologist, as ever, we salute you. Many thanks.